Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
The commercials are over.
No, I haven't got all day.
869-1240.
Time to get busy.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Dan Israel in our Chiefs Insider. Dan, glad to have you in. As much as we all want to look forward because we're all salivating over another Chiefs-Bills playoff matchup, let's look back first and remember a pretty interesting game in the divisional round for the Chiefs. I do think there was rust. I subscribe to the theory that there was. They didn't gain a ton of yards, but they were sort of in control. And I honestly think that's dangerous for the opposition. What were some of your big takeaways from that divisional game?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I mean, I think they came out and they didn't. They just showed a little bit of tempo difference maybe between themselves and the Texans. And then the Texans were being very physical too, which is I don't know if that's usual for them or not. I remember in the earlier contest, I was a little surprised how fast they were, but the physicality didn't really stand out to me. But last week, I thought they were both. The Texans were. And so Chiefs had to come up to speed really quickly on that. And I felt the second half was much better. Certainly felt like it was more fluid and more on the running back situations, you know, to me is just I don't know, man. I'd hate to have to make that decision every week because it's a tough one. And you know, for the Chiefs to have such an embarrassment of riches there is phenomenal. But I do think the defense as well was a little bit rusty, which surprised me. You know, I thought the defensive line in particular probably came to speed quicker than any of the other units. But and, you know, the secondary, it's all about reaction anyway. So I thought the secondary looked good with Watson. I guess all in all, I felt like it was a good Chiefs outing. I hope that they can keep that tempo and pace and start this game a little faster.
From a defensive perspective, I think Steve Spagnuolo showed why he's the best defensive coordinator in the league. And we know that he's going to dial up blitzes. That's kind of what he does. The timing of the blitzes, the way that he brought the pressure, all of that, you know, really showed that, you know, C.J. Stroud was under quite a bit of duress throughout the course of that game. What was interesting, I thought, Dan, was the fact that, you know, when we've seen the pass rush for Kansas City this season so far, it's usually one guy standing out. It's Chris Jones in a game, or it's George Karlaftis in a game. It was both of those guys and Felix Anudike Uzomah, like they all feasted in that game. And I thought that was, you know, a nice addition and hopefully something that can continue on next week.
Yeah, I think Karlaftis now has like 8 playoff sacks.
Yeah.
Karlaftis.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah.
But he was a beast on last, when we play Saturday.
Yeah.
Gosh, it's starting to all blur together. He was a beast. And I feel like, you know, Felix had probably the best game I think he's had. You know, Chris, you expected.
Yeah.
You're paying him all that money.
Yeah.
He's rested. You got to come out and play, especially in the playoffs. This wasn't a regular season game. This is the playoffs. And so I guess it, you know, it's kind of become the MO for the Texans to come up and lose early in the playoffs to Kansas City at Arrowhead. But, you know, I felt that was one of the better Texans teams we've seen, and Chiefs were still able to handle that. It should give you a lot of encouragement. If you looked at the Bills-Ravens game, it looked to me as though the Ravens pretty much gave that game away as well. The Bills didn't look incredibly strong. You know, I mean, they didn't look like they could just – easily handle the Texans. So I'm encouraged by both the play of last week and in the play of the Ravens and Bills games for this week.
Don't you think that the Bills kind of played like the Chiefs?
Absolutely.
It's just kind of like, okay, whatever you think you need to do, we're just going to not make mistakes. We're going to, you know, show you why we've been so successful at this for so long now. I think, Dan, that it's good that the Bills beat the Ravens as far as the Chiefs are concerned. I think the Ravens present some matchup challenges for the Chiefs that the Bills probably don't. But on the flip side of that, the Bills also don't really make mistakes when it gets to this point, like the Ravens are prone to do too.
Yeah, that's the one thing. I'm not a huge Lamar Jackson believer. I feel like he's a great quarterback. If you want to vote for him for the MVP, fine, do so. But I feel like when he gets into these big games, it's not like he just chokes 100%, but there are just some things he can't do. And when the game is put on his back, I don't think Lamar Jackson can carry an entire team. And I know that's a statement, and he very well may be this year's MVP, but we've seen it year after year after year. And so I kind of wanted to see the Ravens come into Arrowhead just because I thought it would be an easier contest. But, and you're right, Jacob, the way the Bills played them on Sunday was very much a, hey, we're just going to sit back here and methodically play our game and just wait for you to make a mistake. And the Ravens did. They made enough of mistakes there.
Four of them.
The Bills could capitalize on it and couldn't recover. And so that's very much what the Chiefs have done all season long, right? So it could be an interesting low-scoring game this week with two defenses just waiting for the other one to pounce.
Talking about mistakes, Dan, I brought this up in the last segment. I'd love to get your take on it. It's remarkable to me that Kansas City has not turned the ball over one time since the last time these two teams played in Buffalo in Week 12. So they've not been prone to turning the ball over and making those mistakes. The offense, they haven't scored 30 points plus a game, but they're not turning the ball over. It makes me wonder, should Buffalo play them aggressively, like defensively? Like, should they be trying to force turnovers in this game this weekend, knowing that the Chiefs haven't turned the ball over in like 2 months? Or should they back off a little bit and just try to, you know, stop the run, you know, stop the pass? Or should they be ball hawks and trying to go after getting them to turn the ball over?
Well, I think all these defenses are kind of starting to adopt that, you know, punching the ball out and really trying to get that ball loose. And the Bills in particular are ball hawks. And so I'd like to say the Chiefs are becoming that. They kind of took a step in that direction. I don't think they fully became that. But, you know, stealing a possession in a playoff game can make a difference. So I guess I'd say if you're asking me, the former, be more aggressive, go after the ball, try to steal a possession, because one possession in these games can make all the difference. Even if it's nothing than keeping the other guy off the field, but usually one of these possessions, you can get a field goal out of it. And these games are so close, man. They're finishing, you know, a touchdown. They're one score games, all these playoff games, you know, some of these, there hasn't really that I can even think of been a huge blowout where we just like, oh, well, that wasn't even worth watching. And so I feel like, if the defense can do just a little bit more for the offense, I think that pays dividends. And so I'd say probably, Tommy, be a little more aggressive on that side. Yeah, look, I mean, at some point, I don't know that you can be more aggressive than what the Chiefs get and what the Bills get.
Not late in that game.
Yeah. So, but I feel like they've got the wherewithal to do it. So do it.
It is fascinating. I wanted to, speaking of the defenses, like, it to me was so predictable that Kelce is primed to go off a little bit. I think it's because they're finally healthy. The Texans, Tommy and I were just talking about this before you came on. The Texans sort of made the decision to let Kelce eat a little bit, and it obviously bit him in Kelce's production. But when you look at the overall production, Mahomes had 177 yards. It makes me wonder what you take away from that if you're the Bills. Should you let Kelce eat a little bit? Because his propensity to, and I know he broke off one big one in that game, but if it wasn't for the 50-yard reception, he'd had about six catches for 50 or 60 yards. Is that because when you look at the totality of the offense, it wasn't the best offensive game for the Chiefs. So how do you handle that, do you think, if you're the opposition? Do you go back to King and on Kelce? Because if you do that, now you've got to deal with Hopkins and Worthy and Hollywood Brown.
Yeah, I feel like, D'Amico Ryan's really kind of took the attitude of, hey, we'll give Kelce a little food, but nobody's getting any explosive plays on us. And we're going to keep this from getting out of hand quickly. And unfortunately, that plan didn't work either. And so I don't really know. I do feel like we all kind of knew deep down inside that Kelce has been saving it up. He was going to hit that turbo button as soon as the playoffs started. And so him getting in there and looking a little bit more like himself, I think was expected. But, you know, I guess the rule of thumb there is you're on the road with a defense. You're trying to win a, you know, a championship game like this. Make it a defensive, you know, keep those guys, keep that score low, give your offense a chance to do something. And the unfortunate part about that, the Texans defense, in my opinion, is really built for that. The Bills defense is different. You know, I wish there was some way we could get rid of Milano. I just, every time I look through, like, how would I strategically attack this? Matt Milano just keeps, that guy just is always in the way, you know, whether he's batting a pass or whether he's, you know, spinning around the defense or the tackles and coming from the backside to create pressure. Now, I don't think it's going to be that easy to get pressure on Mahomes as much as it is CJ Stroud. I do feel like Mahomes is a better read of defenses than Stroud was, but nevertheless, and I even say Jackson, you know, I was surprised with the Bills Ravens game. I was surprised that Jackson didn't scramble more. You know, he was getting enough pressure that I just thought he would scramble more, but I guess that you know, he was trying not to do too much. And when he did try to do too much, that's when he was fumbling the ball. So maybe he was just trying to get settled in back there. But the whole game was a weird game to me with an anomaly. They forgot about Derrick Henry. The Ravens forgot about Derrick Henry for about, I don't know, maybe 10 or 15 minutes of ball game. And then they came, you know, it just wasn't your conventional Ravens game. I did think the Bills were a little more themselves, but even with that said, did you guys think Josh Allen was particularly, you know, amazing? No. I mean, he was Josh Allen, and he has that, you know, whatever they call that. It's not, they don't call it the tush push, what do they call this, you know, snow shovel or something. they're going to get those. I mean, that guy's huge. He's 6'5", and he's on the books at 6'5", Josh Allen is, but he plays more like he's 6'7" or 6'8", I think. But, you know, I think for the Chiefs, what will have to happen here is the Spagnuolo will take that assessment that he always does in the first quarter. It seems like the Chiefs just get in there and they bend and don't break. That was the best thing I felt like that came out of the Texans-Chiefs game was just the – I think it was 15 of the 17 – I'm sorry. Gosh, I'm going to forget this stat now. Most of the offense was played on the opponent's side of the field. So it was really a good example of, you know, you've got 70 offensive snaps and – so many of those were on the offense's opponent's side of the field. That is a defense bending and not breaking. And we truly saw that in Sunday's game. They're going to need to do that same thing, I think, with the Bills, because the Bills are far more explosive than the Texans are. And the last thing you want to do is let this game, let the Bills get up in that 24, 27, 30, 31 kind of range, man. That's an awful lot to ask out of what we've seen out of the Chiefs offense.
With good weather, too,
yeah.
Right?
I mean,
there's going to be good weather this week.
Yes.
I was trying to come up, Dan, with a word to describe the offensive line play from the game on Saturday. And really all I can come up with is enough. Like, they did enough.
Yeah.
They did what they needed to do. You know, it's a patchwork offensive line, especially left tackle with Joe Tooney and all of that. But when you're going up against Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, I mean, it was enough. Like, they did ultimately what they needed to do for Kansas City to get the win and move on. That's probably got to be the recipe this weekend and then, you know, in potentially a Super Bowl. Is they just need to do enough. They can't let Mahomes get killed back there.
No, you're exactly right, Tommy. I'd like to say that, you know, this would be a step down from the Texans game playing the Bills, and that Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson aren't there, but Von Miller showed last week he's still alive and cooking. So I don't know. It's just, you get to this level of ball, I think it's interesting that you know, the same four teams end up in this, you know, the final rounds, the divisional and championship rounds of the conference. And it goes to show that these are all good teams. And I think the guy who makes the least mistakes is going to be the winner, just like we saw on Saturday. But to Tommy's point, yeah, the offensive line, I think, is going to win. If we three-peat this thing, it's going to be said about them that they did just enough to to get it done, because I just don't think there's a deeper well there they can tap right now. We'll see. DJ Humphrey's coming back. You know, who knows? But I don't think they've seen enough to trust him. So
no, you can't risk that. I mean, I'm glad he's there as depth,
as a backup. Yeah.
So what's really interesting about this to me, all that we're talking about in the, you know, the conservative sort of like Vegas has the over under on this game, the exact same it does in the Commanders Eagles game. And I bring up that point about the weather, because both teams played in some pretty gnarly conditions last weekend. And I do think that probably lended itself to the style that Buffalo and Kansas City chose to play in the game. 32 degrees and sunny, I think, is what we're looking at. They're going to get tempted, I would imagine, both offenses to probably take more shots. Vegas certainly thinks so, than they did in those opening games. Just something to think about, because I think both of these offenses in these passing games, when it's not really, really cold, maybe snowy, and the wind howling around, could just choose to open it up because they can.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things that Mahomes and Allen have both done well this year is to take what the defenses has given them. I think in particular, Mahomes learned that last year. I think Allen kind of learned that this year. I noticed him, you know, taking things that he would not normally do, that the Brett Favre gunslinging mentality that, you know, he has at times was on much less display as the Bills went through their regular season. But, you know, you get out there in a playoff game and your emotions and your, you know, your energy levels surging, and you're excited, and it's, and the weather isn't going to be they're not going to feel 32 degrees and sunny. That's going to feel like just an average day of playing football. It's, you know, they're not having to keep, you know, bitter cold, their hands from getting cold and all of that. So you're right. You're going to feel comfortable. And the more comfortable they feel back there, I think the more willing they'll be to take chances. And I'm saying they, because I'm throwing Mahomes in here too. Mahomes likes that, you know, he likes to hit that deep ball too. And he's got Xavier Worthy. He's got Hollywood Brown, man. I know those two are itching. Those three are itching to put on a demonstration. And as a side note to last week's game against the Texans, I was disappointed in the Chiefs' ability to engage DeAndre Hopkins. I really feel like he is a huge factor, or could be a huge factor, in these games. And so as much as I love seeing Kelsey, you know, get something to eat, I just feel like DeAndre Hopkins, they almost forgot about him. And I don't know if that was the case. I don't know if he's just in a weird progression of Mahomes' reads and he wasn't getting to him, but I'd like to see them not forget about him this week for sure.
I think it's either or, Kelsey or Hopkins. Like, I think if you lock up Kelsey, you're going to have to deal with that on Hopkins. Dan, we appreciate it. You guys will have pre and post game coverage for us here on KNSS on the Chiefs Radio Network. Championship weekend, a 5:30 kick. So I guess the sun isn't a factor, but I don't think it's supposed to be particularly windy yet at this point. Looks 5 mile per hour winds. It's going to be, as things go this time of year at Arrowhead Stadium, it's going to be a nice change from the Miami game last year and
that's right.
And last week against that game. So we're looking forward to it. We're looking forward to the call with Mitch and you guys getting it all done for us. And man, it's storybook what we've
fun
got
stuff,
this
isn't
weekend.
It? Hard to believe one game away from a goal like three-peating. It's just phenomenal.
Unbelievable is correct. Dan, we appreciate it.
You bet. Have a good Tuesday, guys.
We'll talk to Dan next week and recap what we see on Sunday. But yeah, it's, 47.5. Is that over under, Tommy? I hadn't looked at that yet. That's pretty crazy. We'll come back. We'll continue the conversation. There's been coaching moves in the NFL as well that we need to get to, some headlines. Don't go away. It's Sports Daily on a Tuesday.